Good evening, everyone. So good to see everyone back out this evening. Good to have children with us again today. Dale hasn't been able to make it out today. I would encourage everybody to check on him to see if there's anything we can do for him or just to let him know that we're here to help him any way that we can. So this evening, we're talking about the good confession. As I mentioned last week, we are looking at some passages from 1 Timothy chapter 6. Last week, we looked at godliness with contentment. This week, we're looking at the good confession. Lord willing, next week, I want us to look at Jesus being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So let's look 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning at verse 11. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things and before Christ Jesus who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time, he who is blessed and only potentate, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Before we get in to the lesson, I want to ask the question, are you a New Testament Christian? If you are not a New Testament Christian, you need to consider that. You need to consider that seriously. And part of the steps to becoming a Christian is making the confession, which we're going to look at this evening. But in verse 13 through 16, in these verses, Paul gave Timothy an urgent exhortation. And again, all of his teaching, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, it's like Paul knows that he is near the end of his life. Everything that he is telling Timothy is urgent and important to him. He says, I charge thee in the sight of God. He cautions him to remember that God witnesses and will hold him to strict account if he fails the responsibility to take this upon himself. And he gave weight to this exhortation by saying, it was given in the sight of God, the Father, and Jesus Christ. He described God as the one who gives life to all things. You know, a lot of times we're pretty loose with our words, and we say we are going to do this or do that or make some commitment and fail to realize that God is our witness of what we are saying. He gives life to all, breath in all things, Acts 17:25. God is the source of all life. From him all life comes. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, John 1:4. And Paul refers to Jesus who made the good confession before Pilate. And this is probably reference to Jesus' admission before Pilate that he was king of the Jews, but that his kingdom was not of this world. When we look at that, the confession that Jesus made when he was on trial for his life before Pilate, this was something special in this confession. He was making it in the face of danger and death. An occasion similar to that, in which he warned the 12 to confess and not to deny him. Paul says, because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We take, I believe, the confession very lightly. We think, well, I confessed Christ when I was baptized. I don't need to do that anymore. We're going to see that our life needs to be a confession, and not just in the way that we live, but we also need to verbalize it. That Christ is our Lord, he is our King. And this confession was addressed to Christians not concerning the plan of salvation and entering into the church, but of the course that would lead to eternal life. Faith in God, encouraged to confess Christ, is just as essential to salvation at every step of life down to death as at the beginning. A lot of these things that we do when we think about becoming a Christian, we're to hear, we keep on hearing. We're to believe, we keep on believing. We're to repent, we keep on repenting. We're to confess, we keep on confessing. We're to be baptized. If we're baptized right, we only need to be baptized once. But these other items, these other things in our life are ongoing. And we should take them seriously. I think sometimes we shy away from it because we don't want to be labeled like some of the denominations. Back in the 70s, this phrase from one religious group, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord." And everybody would just start saying, "Praise the Lord." And it became so common, it really didn't mean anything. Whatever we say, we need to mean it. And we need to say, there's nothing wrong with saying "Praise the Lord." Maybe we should say it more often, but we should mean what we say. So Paul exhorts Timothy to keep this commandment. In this context, the commandment was to flee the evil, pursue the good fight, fight the good fight of faith. We looked at that last week. Remember, he was talking about the dangers of the world, the allurement of the world, people wanting money, not being content. And when that comes along, he told him to do three things: flee, follow, and fight. We flee from those worldly lusts. Well, it's not just enough to flee, we have to follow someone. We follow after Christ. And even when we're following after Christ, sometimes we just got to stop and fight. We've got to fight Satan. We've got to fight evil. We've got to fight the adversary. Verse 14, "That thou keep the commandment without spot, without reproach." Here Paul specifies what charge was that he was commanding in this language to Timothy. The commandment was the teaching of Jesus Christ, the gospel message that was to be proclaimed in all its fullness, that it might be done effectually. It was needed that Timothy should be without flaw. You stop and think about this. How did Paul want Timothy to preach? He wanted him to preach with all boldness. Don't hold back anything. Preach the whole counsel of God. There's false teachers that are going to be coming. You've got to stand firm. You've got to not only preach right, you've got to live right. And again, he was speaking to Timothy, but that applies to all of us. When he was living right and preached what to do, that honored God. If he wasn't living right and preached, that did not bring honor to God, and the same with us. So Timothy was to keep the commandment without spot and blameless, the best possible way he could. So when someone thinks about being without spot and blameless, does that mean that he was sinless? No. We see other passages that tie in with this. When you look at the word blameless in Romans 3, we found that it means the following: no legitimate charge can be made against a person. That means whatever someone did, they made it right. They're now without blame. They may have done something terrible. It may have been a debt. They paid the debt. They are without blame. A charge can't be made against that person. There's no outstanding flaw in his character or life. This person is morally upright, honorable. He has deep integrity. This is all talking about our confession that we are to make as a Christian. So Timothy was to keep the commandment in an excellent, honorable way where no one would have any legitimate grounds to rebuke him for his actions. You think people fought and argued and rebuked him? Sure, they did. because Paul was teaching him to stand up against false teachers. Not only that, but he was a young man. And he was to do that until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing. So Timothy wasn't to back down. What does this mean, until Lord Jesus Christ appearing? He was to keep preaching boldly, either till he died or until Christ returned. And again, that is the same with all of us. So, we're talking about the good confession. Why is this called the good confession twice in this short single passage here? Well, it's good. It's the good confession because Christ made it under oath. Mark 14:62, Jesus said, "I am. You will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." The same being the legal charge upon which our Lord was condemned to be crucified. John 19:7, the Jews answered him, "We have a law. According to our law, he ought to die because he made himself out to be the Son of God." So Christ made it and died for making it in order that men might make it and live. Stop and think about that. Christ confessed that he was the Son of God, and he died making that confession that we might live. And friends, there's going to be a time that comes when we make that confession, we may have to give our life for making it. And we need the time to prepare for that is now. Hopefully it will not come, but we need to not think that it's not going to happen to us. It's not going to happen to our family. There's no telling what our children or grandchildren will face. And just like Paul, with his parting words before he dies, is telling Timothy, you stand strong, you stand firm. You make that good confession. So it's a good confession because God himself made it three times, speaking out of heaven in broad open daylight. At the baptism of Christ, Matthew 3:17, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God acknowledged that Jesus was the Son of God. At the Transfiguration, Matthew 17:5, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." And if God says something one time, that's enough. But it's interesting. He says it at the baptism, at the Transfiguration. He says it when the Greeks, the Gentiles, come to see Jesus in John 12:28. "Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Jesus calling on the Father, and this voice came down from heaven. The good confession. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Well, it's the good confession because all men, evil and righteous alike, shall at last make the good confession. Philippians 2:11, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to glory of God the Father. So, is there anybody here this evening that's not going to make that confession? We are all going to make that confession. We are either going to make it in this life, or we are going to make it when we stand before God. And again, we need to be making this confession over and over. And if we haven't made it, since we're all going to make it eventually, why not make it in this life and be saved? Because when we wait till we leave this world and we make that confession is not going to get us into heaven. If we have not obeyed the gospel, but we are still going to confess. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And again, As I was mentioning this morning, talking about to God the Father, the story of the Bible, the salvation of man that comes through Christ to bring glory to God. We give glory to God through Christ. Well, we notice that this confession is good because it is unto salvation. Romans 10:10. And this is a vital part of the plan of salvation. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's not enough just to think in our minds, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. It's not enough just to believe and be righteous. We have to verbalize it. We have to verbalize it. And then when we start verbalizing it, we have to live it. And you stop and think, when we've talked about words before, there's power in the word. Any word, every word, there's power in it. When God spoke this world into existence, when Jesus is called the Word, when we speak this confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that just reinforces into us, when if He is the Son of God, if He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, what does that make me? That makes me His humble servant that is in need of His mercy and grace, and I need to do everything I can every day for my Master, because I just confess that He's my Master. He's the Son of God. Well, it's the good confession because it has been made by saints of all ages. This wasn't just something here at the last minute that was made. Several examples of this. Nathanael made it. John 1:49, Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Why don't we realize that? Again, we'll give it lip service. We'll give it lip service, but when we recognize that He's the Son of God and King of Israel, that's going to change our day-to-day life. Peter made it in Matthew 16:16. Simon Peter answered and said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Christ said, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but the Heavenly Father did. And was that some miraculous revelation? No, I don't believe so. The Heavenly Father revealed it to him from all the prophecies of the Old Testament that Peter was seeing fulfilled right before him with John the Baptist, the coming of John the Baptism, the preaching of the kingdom is at hand, repent. All of these things that foretold and pointed toward Christ. And Peter realized that. And Peter said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Timothy made it here in our passage. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Nicodemus made it. John 3:2, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. We've just looked at a few examples so far, and back like I was talking about this morning, all the evidence when we were looking in Timothy, all the historical evidence that points to people and places in the manuscripts, everything that has been recorded and documented. This book wasn't some book made up by man, just a bunch of fairy tales. This is the Word of God from God about the Son of God. Thomas made it. John 20:28, and Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. And when we say my Lord, we better live like that. We can't say, my Lord, and then go and live any way we want to. We can't say, my Lord, and say, well, I think I'm going to change this about the way I worship. I think I'm going to do this. I'm going to add this. God's not going to mind. If Friends, if he is Lord, he is going to mind. And he is Lord. Judas, who betrayed him, made it. Matthew 27:4, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. Judas recognized that Jesus was the Son of God. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. Well, the judge who tried him made the confession. Matthew 27, when Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. See, he knew that Jesus was the king. He recognized that he was innocent. Pilate's wife made it. Matthew 27:19, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him saying, have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. His wife, it was revealed to his wife that he was a just man. The centurion in charge of the execution made it. Matthew 27:54. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Over and over and over, we see examples in the New Testament of people confessing that Jesus was the Christ. And when they recognized that Jesus was the Son of God, it changed their life. It changed their life. It changed their attitude. It changed their actions. The thief on the cross confessed him. Luke 23:42. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Who has a kingdom? A king. The thief recognized that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. All of these men confessed. They made the good confession. How about us? Do we make the good confession, or do we say, oh, I did that years ago. I did that 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. That was good enough. What's the world going to think of us? They aren't going to know. They aren't going to know that Jesus is our Lord and King unless we tell them, unless we make that confession on a regular basis. But it's not just people that we can read about in the Bible that made the good confession. The same is true of angels and of demons. The night that he was born, the angels of heaven said, behold, there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The angels from heaven made this confession. There's born unto you this day in the city of David in Jerusalem a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Not only did the angels make it, the demons also made this confession. The demon said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Mark 5:7. So as we looked at earlier, every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Heaven, earth, and hell all have one word of Jesus Christ. He's the only begotten of the Father, the Son of God Most High. Man recognizes it. We don't always confess it. Those that do will receive salvation. Those that do not confess Christ, will not be saved. And again, it's not just lip service. It's not just like saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Christ. It's not just giving lip service to it. We have to recognize that he's the Son of God. He's Lord. He's Lord. And that's why next week we're going to look at him being Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So the good confession is good because it's a summary of all Christian doctrine. Everything depends upon this, the rock of our salvation. It's the profoundest fact revealed in Scripture, and yet it's paradoxical. It's easily understood. Like the mighty ocean, it has shallows where a child may play and great depths that have never been fathomed. You think about just that saying, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It is so simple and it is so deep. It is so deep. We could spend the rest of our life talking about Jesus being the Son of God. 1 Timothy 6:13. Back where we started, I charge thee in the sight of God, who giveth life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed the good confession. I charge thee, Timothy, in the sight of God. And this is the way where Paul began a number of his numerous charges to Timothy. This word charge carries with it the meaning of an official order, one to be carried out at any cost. Not just for Timothy, but for us also. I charge thee, Timothy, in the sight of God, who giveth life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed the good confession. Timothy was to make it, we are to make it. Back to the question I asked earlier. Are you a New Testament Christian? Friends, if you are not, why not? Why not? What's our options? We can either accept Christ and recognize who He is and be saved and forgiven of our sins. Our reward will be eternal life. If we do not, our reward is going to be eternal death. We are all going to confess Christ. It's better to do it now than on the day of judgment. Friends, if there's anyone here that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.